I would give my amen to the thanks that was given from our brethren. It's been a good conference, and we've been happy to be here. Thank you very much. And we trust that the believers here, it's always tough at a conference time, you're always busy, but we trust that the believers here will be built up, as well as those that have come along. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We've been hearing a number of things that we should do and shouldn't do. And just to close the conference, we want to look at how we can do it. Waiting on the Lord is the ultimate lifestyle, to be waiting on God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Quality time with the Lord. Taking time out to sit in His presence. Have to say no to certain things. We heard a conversation the other day. Our son Scott, his brother-in-law would ask him, how do you get everything done? Scott is the IT man at the hospital. He's got five children and a foster child at home when he comes home. And he always says that if you're in the assembly, you have three jobs. Your regular job, your family job, and the assembly. Scott's home is on a hillside. And the water all run down, and his yard is always just soggy, terrible. It isn't right now, this summer. But normally, halfway through the summer, the kids would be playing in kind of halfway wet grass. Whoever did the work before Scott bought the home, they put a retaining wall up along the hillside and wood boards along there, and the boards are all rotted out. So I gave Scott a hand, and we took the boards out and kind of cleaned things up and dug some trenches and put in some tile and so forth. But Scott now put in rock. And it's like the rock that you would see them blow up along the side of the mountain, the granite rock. So he put this in about yay wide and about yay high for about 200 feet. And he had to go load the rock by hand and unload it and then wheelbarrow it back into his backyard. But his brother-in-law said, how do you do that? And I was surprised. Scott says, you just have to say no to other things. And he said, I just do it. I didn't do it all at once. So how do we grow in our spiritual life? How do we apply these things? Sometimes we can look at it and say, oh, I haven't got that much time to study. But just take some time out. 15 minutes here and 15 minutes there. Begin the day with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I put down here that it's a special diet which produces spiritual growth. They that wait upon the Lord, it is God's open invitation to all. None of us have an excuse that we can't learn, we can't grow. God has invited us to come, they that wait upon the Lord. God will put no pressure upon us. He wants us to grow. He won't put us on a guilt trip. There takes some self-discipline and growing in one's spiritual life. God will sometimes use circumstances to make us realize where we're at, such as coming to a conference and here at ministry where we see we have failed. They that wait upon the Lord. That word wait in the Hebrew is interesting. It is to bind together.
It means to wait patiently. But the binding together.
When I thought about that, my mind went to, I still call it home after not being there for how many years, but back to Taylorside. And I have some nephews there that are on the farm. There's a little creek goes through, and the beavers build a dam. And then your water backs up, and pretty soon your fields that you want to plant with wheat has got covered with water. So they can legally go out with a stick of dynamite and blow that dam up. And they'll blow it up one evening, you go out in the evening, blow it up, and the next morning it's pretty well built up again. Now, the beaver know that they have to have water to survive. And we need to understand that as believers, we need spiritual food to survive. We're not going to survive if we don't. And by the way, sometimes Satan can blow up things in our life. He can take away things that would discourage us, and we just don't feel like reading. But, you know, sometimes when a person's really down and you say to them, you know, you need to read and pray. Have you read and prayed? No. Why? Like, if you're depressed, you're not going to. Nothing seems right. And Satan can bring those things in just like a stick of dynamite. So we need to rest in God. Binding the Word of God within our heart. We need to rest in God. We need to trust in God. This is where faith comes from. Resting doesn't mean that we're going to run around, that we're going to do some scheming, and we're going to figure this out on our own. When all the time, the Father knows. They that wait upon the Lord. We need to learn to trust our Father. It helps us to see God's perspective in our life. The life and the goal and the path that He has set out before us. So how long do we need to wait? Well, really, it's a lifestyle. Waiting on God. Then the promise is, renew. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. God's promise. And again, the Hebrew word here to renew means to recharge. We don't travel much on the airplane anymore. But if you've gone traveling on the airport, often when you get into the waiting area and you're waiting for your next flight, what do you see happening? Everybody's looking for a plug-in because they want to recharge those batteries for their computer and for their phone. They want to make sure that when they need it, they have it. Nothing worse than going to use your phone and the battery is going beep, 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 and it's going dead. But God says, they that wait upon the Lord, it's like going to a plug-in and recharging your spiritual batteries. It's a promise. Here we have the secret of the soul's renewed energy. Our character, our countenance are altered by a renewal process. Then He gives us another promise. We will mount up with wings as eagles. That is, we will rise up above the cares and the worries of this world. And it is surprising as we rise up in fellowship with God how the cares and the worries of this world don't seem as great as what they were before we would rise up. From this view, we see the world differently. Below, our view is blocked. Why do you think there is a platform up here? Now the preachers all complain in Arlington because it's another 3 steps higher. And you feel like you're too far away. But here, you can see. Get down here, and you can't see as well. I was sitting behind a lady the other day, and I had to keep going around her hat. So finally I moved. But from here, we see different. Oh, I'll give you an example.
The highway is pretty good, but those country roads, as you're driving down the country roads, you see the hawk, or you see the eagle, and they are just looking for dinner. Okay? Now, as we drive down the road, the grass is almost up to the height of the window in your car. And the ditches are full. And we might see a mouse or a gopher if they come out on the road. And we see some that come out and they got ran over. That's how we would see it. Not the hawk or the eagle. They're up there country mile. And they can see. They just looked at, well, you know, when you're up in a jet, the farmland all looks just, everything looks neat. From down here, we can't see that. And that eagle, he can see his breakfast down there, and we cannot see it. And God is trying to get that through to us,
that I promise, not only will he renew our strength, but as we mount up with wings as eagles, we will have a different view on our life, on our walk. Give you an example. You say, oh, come on.
Does it really make that much difference? I'll give you two examples. In fact, let's just read them.
1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 32. Now here was David coming to visit his brothers, and it's about Goliath, and the most of us know what has happened. So in verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him that is Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this giant. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David spake unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both, the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. Did you see the two different views? Now, what King Saul said was in reality right. But he was looking at it from a carnal heart. He said, David, you can't go against this man. You're but a youth, and you're small, and he's a big old giant. That's right. That's exactly right. And you are not trained, and he's a man of war, and that was right. But what was Saul looking at? He was looking at the circumstances, and he wasn't looking at the Lord. He was looking through carnal eyes. And David was a man of God. And he was looking at it from God's eyes and God's view. He was above. And he just reminded Saul of what God had done for him. And it just is wonderful. He says, moreover, the Lord that delivered me will deliver me now. So, how do you see circumstances? How do you see things that come up in your life? Is it an awful mess? Is it things will never be the same? Or do you see that God has a purpose in it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Now, I can tell you right now that that's not physical. It's a promise. Some of us can't run. We can hardly walk up the stairs and we are weary. But it is a spiritual strength. They shall run and not weary. A renewed energy or strength that God will give us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't it interesting? It's not our race, it's His race. And He has set before us, each one of us, a course. And God knows the ups and the downs, the disappointments, the excitements of that race, of that course. He laid it out. It's personal for you and I. And God wants us to see that He has made no mistakes.
I think a lot of you probably know Herb Stiles. And 3 weeks ago he fell 14 feet off the roof.
Down he went and on his shoulder. And they put a x-ray of it on Facebook, and his shoulder was yay far apart on the x-ray and just shattered. So he went in.
He was then, of course, into the hospital there, one of the hospitals in Calgary. And it just seemed like the doctor, you know, he should have just forwarded him to a surgeon that works on shoulders, but apparently this didn't happen. And he said to Herb, well, you know, I think we'll do this. And then at the end of the day, he come back and said, no, we're going to try something else. And finally, after 3 days, he said to Herb, we're just going to send you home, and it needs to do a little healing on itself. Now, you could be upset, you could be disgusted, but you know, when Herb got home, he realized that this doctor really didn't know what he was doing. And he said, I'm so thankful that he didn't do anything. Yeah. Herb saw it from a little higher vision. I'm happy to say that he's finally had surgery and things seem to be coming well, but the Lord knew about that course and the things that come for us. Can we be thankful? All things work together for good. And do we see the good? Now, Herb never said, I'm thankful I fell. But he said, the doctor told me, if you would have been just a little more, you would have just, your head and your shoulder, and probably would have been dead. And there's about three or four things that he said he was thankful for. God has laid out a course for us. Let us run, and don't become discouraged. Don't give up your heart. But let us run and not be weary. Then, let us walk and not faint. Don't lose heart. He has promised us renewed energy and a desire to go on for Him. Let us spend quality time with Him. Take that time. Make time throughout the day. Remember this diet. People spend tons of money on diets. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But God has promised on this one, it will work, and it takes time, but not money. What are the other benefits that we see here? We'll see some of the benefits that are named in John chapter 3 and verse 30. It says there that He must increase, and I must decrease. Not only comes by spending time with Him. It's interesting that there are three musts that we have there in John chapter 3. In verse 7, it's the must for the sinner. Ye must be born again. If you're ever going to be in heaven, we know you must be born again. And then verse 14, there's a must for the Savior. He must be lifted up. If we ever have a gospel to present, the Savior had to be lifted up. And then verse 30, for the saint. I must decrease. He must increase. I must decrease. And God has promised us that they that wait upon the Lord, this will happen. How do we allow the Lord to increase? Waiting upon Him. So if you don't have a habit, start one today. Start your diet today. Yeah. Stay on it
for at least 30 days. Okay? There won't be instant results. You know, our spiritual life is not done in a microwave.
No.
Not instant results. However, the results are very gratifying. I never realized in the last few years I take more pills than food, I think.
But if you read the information that comes with it, the side effects, you probably would not want to take them. All the side effects. I mean, you can have a heart attack, and you can have this and have that, and yet you need the pill.
So with this diet, there are side effects.
Yeah.
And the side effects are this. He will increase, and we will decrease. We will learn to trust Him day by day. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May we be encouraged and encourage one another from day to day, shall we pray. Father, we are thankful for today. We're thankful for the conference. We're thankful for the ministry.